It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, beautiful people of South Africa. This is Malcolm Dooley, your special guest host for today. I know it's almost afternoon, but it's good anyway. For those of you all starting work today, I hope you love what you're doing right now and you're happy to be back. If not, I hope this is the day you tell your boss, fuck this shit, I am out of here. That is what it's all about, chasing your dreams, doing what you love to do. I am here with my crew, my homies, my partners. Here they are. Here we go. Introduce yourself there, boy.
Good morning, beautiful people. My name is Ria Betso Sesele, other known as Ria or Rehab, but let's just stick to Ria for now, eh? Part of the Worst Guys, I'm a comedian, I'm a lyricist, do a lot of stuff partaking in the Worst Guys. And yeah, you're pretty sure to see a lot of me soon, eh?
Yeah, there's way too much energy in this room this morning. I don't know what's
That's
going
what
on.
That's what it's all about.
So these guys had breakfast and I'm just chilling here on an empty stomach like, oh my God, what the hell is going on? Anyhow, morning guys. My name is John Ngamani. Get that right.
That's going to be a tough one.
That's a very difficult one.
Now, Matt, and I'm wait. Yeah. Sorry, just to interrupt you, just because you brought something up that reminded me of, I don't know if you've seen about 2016 being the year that we mispronounced white people.
But before you jump again, can I please introduce myself? Like you had the opportunity.
Go for it.
Please.
Go for it.
And like I was saying, my name is John Ngamane, and I'm also part of the Worst Guys. I'm not a comedian. I'm a stripper in my head. I'm part of the crew. I'm just one of the guys who just chills in the background, you know. So I'll always let Mark and Cecilia take the spotlight. And I just
yeah, but as long as you know, without you, this wouldn't be possible.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate that very, very much. But yeah, that's me. So, on what you were saying there, Mark?
Which white name are you mispronouncing this year?
Have you decided?
All of them.
No. Every single one.
Yes, but I think I'm gonna have to go with Thomas. Thomas is, I think it's the one that I'm gonna mispronounce.
What are you gonna say?
I'm gonna call him Tobani. I'm gonna call all the Thomases Tobani.
Anything that starts with a T is Tokoloshe.
Yeah,
That's a good one. Yeah, I'm also on that ride. But to be honest, I haven't suffered that much from it because obviously my name is Marcus.
Exactly.
Very white name, but my surname as well struggles, you know. Mjuli. I don't know why people can't say Mjuli.
Mjuvi.
Mdululi.
Mdululi. Yeah.
Mjuvi with the
V. Or Mluli. It's like, come Mdululi. On, dog.
I think that's still okay. It's still acceptable. I've got four names.
Okay.
And I'm using John, which is my, you know, one of the four. And the easiest, you know. I mean, my first name, okay. Take this. Very, very slowly. Sorry. Oritidisite.
Oritidisite.
That is my first name. That is my first name, guys.
So why don't you make people start calling you that?
I think I'm gonna start. I was just tired of the different variations. People calling me Ross and Orange Mercedes Benz, you know. So that's not gonna fly no more. I'm no longer John. I'll be from now on.
Cool. So we are the Worst Guys. We do a whole lot of stuff, but we're here on Cliff Central now. We're about to blow your mind with some mind-opening conversation. We'll have some chats. You guys can call in, maybe give your own opinions on what we're talking about. We have a lot of different topics that we're talking about today. The number to call is 0861-555-189. Call us on Cliff Central. Anything that interests you or that you'd like to contribute to the conversation is more than welcome. So, the first topic that we would like to talk about today, Bill Cosby. I know it's hot. I know everybody's talking about Bill Cosby. We all know what's going on.
Let's look at it from a different angle.
I want to know what his wife intends on saying when she gets subpoenaed to testify against Bill Cosby. That's what I want to know. Do you believe that she's going to be what is considered to be a loyal wife, somebody who...
A ride or die.
Yes, a ride or die, exactly. Somebody who will stick by Bill Cosby until the end. Or she's going to be like, you know what? This bitch-ass nigga has been fucking up my shit, and I'm not happy about it. Send this guy to 25 to life. What do you think her angle going in is? Obviously, we don't really know that well, but I mean, as a spouse, where do you draw the line with your partner?
As a spouse, you have to know that, okay, if he did this, all right, let's say, for example, she was subpoenaed to testify against him committing a crime, but it was self-defense. Yeah, sharp. But now, this is rape, bro.
Yeah. Kids, it's a different story.
No.
Yeah. Well, do you think that she has a responsibility as a wife
to tell the truth? Do you think that she knows about what he was doing, or did he do it when he was out late at night and come back and say, I was having a meeting or something like that? Okay. Or do you think that she knows that she was doing all of this, John?
I think she knows. Women always know.
That's true.
Women always know. She does have responsibility. She is a woman. And what Bill did was what he allegedly did, you know, is entirely wrong, you know. But then again, these guys have been together for more than 50 years. So I think she's a ride. She's a ride
or die.
She's a ride or die.
So if anything, possibly could be.
If anything, look, from what I've read, it seems as though she was forced into this, into testifying against them. She was subpoenaed. She didn't want to do it at all.
Yeah.
If anything, we would have heard about this, you know, 10 years ago when the first lawsuit came up. You know, she would have stuck her two cents in. But we've heard nothing from the lady. She's been radio silent. So I think she's going to stick to her guns. Obviously, she'll...
I'm pleading the fifth.
She's going to plead the fifth. Yeah, you know, honestly, genuinely, man.
So I'm saying
that. They've been together for so long. And I think in a relationship that's been going on for such a long time, you tend to draw up what's right and wrong in the relationship.
Yeah.
Let's just use this for example. I think we've all seen House of Cards, yeah.
Okay.
You know, the president and his wife.
Yeah,
you
Claire know? Underwood and Frank
exactly,
Underwood. I love that relationship.
They have... don't start. You know what you want in life.
They have
their wrongs and have their rights. They have their boundaries. Yeah. It might be the same thing with Bill and Camille. We don't know. So
exactly.
I think she's honestly going to get on that stand and try say as little as possible, even though it's going to be very difficult, but I don't think she'll sell him out.
Yeah.
If she would have done so 10 years or even 30 years ago.
Okay, and just in terms of... what's happening to Bill Cosby and his career? They've removed his star from the Hollywood Boulevard. They're taking away all his credits for the stuff that he's done in the past. Now, what I want to know from you guys is, of course, rape is the most heinous crime in the world. But does that take away all the good that he's done? Think about how much joy Bill Cosby's brought to people's lives. Think about how much happiness and, you know, he changed comedy. The Huxtables. I loved the Huxtables when I was young. You know, should I stop liking the Huxtables because of what just happened? You know what I mean? Where do we say, okay, like, we're pulling your name off the Hollywood Boulevard, or we don't give you credit for the work, the hard work that you've done for the last few years, I mean decades, or, you know, the contributions that you've made to comedy on a personal level as well as on a working level? Where do we... Does the bad overshadow the good? That's essentially what I'm asking you.
Look at who's that cyclist oak now?
Lance Armstrong.
They stripped him of all of his titles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
But he was cheating while he was racing. Bill Cosby wasn't cheating while making comedy.
Dude, it's not. It's the principle at the end of the day.
Okay.
You've done something wrong. You pay the cost.
That's it. But surely he should pay the cost by going to jail if he's convicted. That is, he should pay the cost by going to jail, and that punishment that he receives from the courts of law, is that the punishment that he deserves? Why does it have to extend to his career?
Exactly, and that's what pisses me off as well, because you'll find in a lot of industries as well, what's true for the part isn't necessarily true for the whole.
Yeah.
And I don't see how that's in any way fair or just.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
You see why I say that is because Chris Brown is the perfect example for me. Chris Brown is a guy who... he was flourishing, you know. He had it all. He had the dance moves. He could sing. He has that charisma, you know, that Chris Brown charisma that Justin Bieber's kind of starting to show now, where, you know, Chris Brown could fuck up as much as he wants, but he'll still be floating. So what I don't like about it is that Chris Brown hits one of my favorite women on the entire planet.
I'm not laughing at the hitting part.
He's not just hitting a woman. He's hitting Rihanna. Hitting a woman is bad enough, but Rihanna, guys. So what I'm trying to say is that Chris Brown, he paid for his crime. Now he's still floating, making millions, singing "These Hoes Ain't Loyal" in the club. So,
and you dance.
And I jump. Ask these people. This Cliff Central New Year's Eve party, I was sweating my ass off, jamming to "Loyal" in the club. So what I'm trying to say is that his bad didn't overshadow his good. And I think hitting a woman is just as bad as raping a woman. It's the weakest thing a man can do to a woman. So He was not, you know, justified. Okay, we have a caller, Michael. Hello? Okay, next time, Michael. This got a bit too real for you, eh? It's okay.
Sorry, it happens.
But you see what I'm saying? Chris Brown's bad hasn't overshadowed his career. He was punished for the crimes that he committed, and now he's continuing with his career and he's still flourishing. So what I'm saying, do you believe, let me go to you, John, do you believe that it deserves, I mean, Bill Cosby deserves to lose his star on Hollywood Boulevard and to be stripped of all the credit that he's done in his work because of his personal affairs?
For me, honestly, that is a difficult one, mate. I don't know where I stand with this one. Yeah. But from what I feel as though humans feel cheated in this regard. Is that like, you know what? He was America's dad.
Yeah.
Wada wada, this and that, you know. And for the black community, he played a major role.
Yeah. And the black community, I was just like,
he's just digging a bigger grave. You see, it's kind of like, you see now.
They already think so low of us. Maybe you gotta do that.
You had an opportunity, now you just cost us.
Yeah.
You just knocked on the ball. I really don't know how I feel this one. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I feel as though his achievements are there.
Yeah.
We all know about them.
That's,
you know, sometimes as humans, we're very good at forgiving. Sometimes we don't necessarily forget. Sometimes even.
Your interjection? I want to understand your interjection. We're not good at forgiving. Why?
Have you seen how angry people are in the world these days, brother? Everybody's just angry.
Yes. I understand, but I'm saying, who are we not forgiven? What example do you have of like a time where somebody should have been forgiven and wasn't, or deserves to be forgiven and isn't? You know what I mean?
Okay, I'm gonna need to do my background.
Look, I get what you say, but people are angry.
People are angry.
Are angry, then they're not so easy to forgive. You know,
it takes longer than it should sometimes. But I think another person we can put into the mix, God bless us all, rest in peace, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, with this whole...
Yes, please, let's talk about Michael Jackson. Love that
him
guy.
Him and the kids. Him and the kids, you know.
Maybe if Bill Cosby also did some skin bleaching, he would have gotten off of that.
Good Lord.
Love that one. You have to be white to get away with it.
Oh, jeez.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
But I feel exactly what you're saying. Because there were still so many allegations against Michael Jackson. You know, Macaulay Culkin wasn't the only one who came forward and said, listen, this guy likes to touch little boys.
Yeah.
You know, but for me personally, Michael Jackson made such a big difference for me and my understanding of music and my love of music that I'll never stop loving Michael
Jackson. So here's my question.
He has my undying love.
So my question,
whether he did it or not, and he didn't.
Okay.
According to the courts, he did not. But I'm saying, I would, if he was found guilty and he was spending his time in jail, I'd still be bumping that PYT.
Okay, but listen, what I'm saying. My question to you now is,
yeah,
does the person's impact matter
on the world?
Well, no. Like, obviously, if he did something wrong, like Bill or MJ, but their impact was so significant to the world. Would that have an effect on what your decision is on the person after you find out what they did?
It depends on how much you see. Michael Jackson is my idol. He's my hero, and although he made a mistake, I can't just take that away all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
I still love his music.
Yeah.
It's like Tiger Woods as well. As a golfer myself, he was my idol, my hero, you know, and he did all that shit, but he's still one of the best golfers to ever grace a golf course. Do you know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is your personal life should surely be separated from your career. I think that's the ultimate stand that I'm coming to on now, because I was also a little bit confused about it. That's why we're discussing it and debating it. But I genuinely do feel like your personal life should be your personal life. You get justice delivered to you from the courts, and you pay for your crimes in that way. But everything else that you've done, that you've worked hard for, should remain the same. I mean, that hasn't changed. Do you know what I'm saying? What you've done is
wrong. Basically, you're saying what was done to Lance Armstrong, that was just because it didn't. He was cheating.
It was directly involved in the sport. Yes.
Okay. No, fair enough.
You see,
fair enough.
Okay. That's it.
So now, what about Tiger with his IOP? No, what's up?
His IOP.
Yes, because now he's got basically like 20/20 vision, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, what's wrong with that?
That's almost like taking roids as well. He's got an advantage above everybody else, man.
But a lot of people have 20/20 vision.
Yeah.
It's not like he's the only one out of all the golfers with 20/20 vision. If your vision's blurry, I'm going to want to fix that.
But he still sucks. He sucks right now.
Yeah, so he's washed.
He's washed.
That's God.
He's getting punished
He's gone. He's done.
Okay. But anyway, since we're talking about artists and stuff like that, this leads me to a topic very close to home. Is about, you know, the longevity of artists in our country. You know, Who do we know who's really done well in their career as a musician or as an actor? Okay, actors more so in South Africa, they do flourish for a longer period of time, but more solely focused on musicians, you know, people who've had 10, 15, 20-year careers. You know, who are those types of people? Because from what I see, you know, the likes of Rebecca Malope. Rebecca Malope is still doing it. She's still out. She's still judging Clash of the Choirs. She's made dozens of records. You know what I'm saying? She's been here for decades as well. You know, but for the most part, most of our artists are here for five years max, and then they disappear. Zola is the perfect example of that. You know? But I think Zola's the type of guy who wants to disappear, you know. Yeah, he wants to belong in the cast, in the location. That's home for him.
Like, he's doing something entirely different now, bro. You know, he's involved with the community more. He's just like, okay, I'm just chilling.
Yeah.
I ain't finna be up in the streets no more. Yeah. Dropping Quito. So he's
how much is it worth, really?
Yeah. You know, he's doing something entirely different now, you know, because I mean, obviously he had his show, Zola 7.
Yeah.
Don't act like you didn't watch it every Thursday night. We see you out there, you know. Exactly what I'm talking about. And I think he just changed. He just wanted, you're right. I think he's just like, okay, no, I don't need the limelight anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'll be in the background and I'll just do what I got
to
do.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think, Ria, I'll go to you for this. Do you think you can, you know, think of any of your favorite South African artists and tell me if they've survived a long lifespan as musicians?
Sadly, but honest enough, no. And I was having this conversation. I don't want to name drop or anything like that right now.
Drop just a name, dog. Don't be safe.
All right. Speak.
But yeah, I was having this conversation, and then he was like, "Yeah, no, like, look who was hot this year." And I'm like, "Casper." He's like, "Yeah, hot as fuck."
Sorry. Yeah.
Who was hot last year? And I'm like, AK. He's like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, this conversation still took place in 2015, just by the way. So when I'm referring to last year, it's 2014.
I get you.
And then he was like, 3 years back, 4 years back, the likes of Double HP, Kulichana.
Yeah.
Those guys were killing the scene.
Yeah, where's Double HP now?
He chilling, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and Proverb, I'm sure Proverb released a song.
Pro Kid.
Pro Kid
was hot at his intro.
Very hot.
He was hot.
Squatter Camp. Well, I guess when it comes to groups and bands, it's hard. It's very hard to keep a group together. So that I'll give some leeway to. But I mean, Squatter Camp was everything, you know.
No, but Squatter Camp also ran the game. Yeah, but like that, you know, as well, there were certain artists that were flourishing in that group as
like
well.
Slicker.
Yeah.
And Flava.
Flava.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So from my perspective, we've mentioned Rebecca Malope, who's been flourishing for a long time. Steve Hofmeyr, you know, Kurt Darren, you know. From what I see is that a lot of the Afrikaans musicians have a longer lifespan in music. And I'd suggest it's because of the money that Afrikaners put into the music. Obviously, they do have money and they put it into the music and they support their artists a lot more than, you know, a lot of other cultures do. You know, we all about, you know, downloading the album, you know. Not many of us are out there buying it at Musica, which we all should be. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, what do you think about that, Ria?
My thing as well is that if you love and you respect the art, you need to support the art.
Obviously.
And I understand that you want to download it. Fair enough. You don't want to go to Music or Reliable Music Warehouse and go buy the album there. You know?
Yeah.
Fine, cool. But like, if you're going to download it off of iTunes or any other.
Yeah. No, you know, I totally agree with you, because I won't lie, when I was in high school, when I was younger, you know, I definitely did download music all the time, you know, for free. So arrest me, yo. You know what I'm saying? But now that I'm starting to grow up and I'm starting to, you know, really come into form as an artist, I don't download music. I mean, I have to go out and buy it because
you know my
collection. I know. Yeah, exactly. And I actually learned it a lot from you. You know, we have a big box in this Toyota Yaris that me and my boy Ria always roll around in, listening to music all the time. Big box, just a collection of CDs. You know what I'm saying?
It goes back to that Black Street.
Yeah.
Stuff, bruh.
And Black R. Kelly Street, Usher's Confessions. We have that there.
The 50 Cent
dog.
You just need to support the artist. I mean, like...
Yeah, the local artists.
Okay, no, but that too, we've got that.
I've got Levels.
Yeah.
I've got Tulu Fellow.
Yeah.
We've got it all, dog.
That's a good
but
one.
What I'm saying is that, like, people, it needs to be a broader understanding of why we buy music. We don't buy music. It's 100 rand.
Yeah.
How often do you go out on a Friday night and spend 250 rand? You don't even remember your night. You wake up with a hangover.
Fair enough.
How much was it worth? You know,
fair enough.
You're supporting the artist and you still get the music on top of that, that lasts forever.
I agree with you. But just touching on that point, just going back about, you know, the longevity of artists in the country, I just feel as though you touched on Rebecca Malope. And I think gospel is not necessarily a changing genre.
Okay.
It doesn't really change. Yes. Compared to your kwaito or your hip hop or whatever it is, trap, whatever we have in a popping nowadays. They are thinking it's a case of, okay, whoever adapts the best, boom, flourishes.
That's the thing. Why aren't these guys keeping up with the times? Why can't they adapt like, you know, other artists adapt overseas, for example? When you look at international artists, people have been around for years. Jay-Z, years. And you can see his growth because he's made music. He's still made music even after long after his peak, and he knew he had peaked. And he grew to the stage where he started running a business. He created Tidal. Well, he's been running businesses, but I'm saying he's still involved with music, but he's starting to see, okay, this is my role now in the music world. He's not the voice of the people anymore. He's too far gone. Yeah. He can't say anything that we can relate to. Jay-Z is Jay-Z. You know what I mean? So where's the adaption? Where's the growth?
It's all about consistency, bruh.
Yeah.
Consistency.
Consistency for everything in life.
You know, and in line with that thing of us wanting to support the local artists, you know, you also can't just put out anything there. Put out quality, bruh.
Yeah. But I'm not going to buy it if it's trash. I don't care if you're local or not. I'll buy it because I want to listen to it and I think it's good. I want to support local artists, but I'm not going to give you my support if I genuinely don't support you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
You know.
Yeah.
Like if the singles that you come out with are the only hoots ones that you have. And that's like maybe, let's say, 4 or 5 singles.
Yeah.
You know? And then you've got a 15-track album.
Yeah.
So I might as well go and download it then.
Yeah, just
I'll download those five albums.
You'll have on
download
that guy.
Those five albums. Those five tracks.
Sorry, with me, I feel as though I don't use the CD player in my car. I'd rather get it on my phone.
Exactly, but then you have a channel to support the artist still, even though you download it.
I definitely agree. You know, so I'll definitely just go on iTunes and download it, whatever the case is. But for me, I'm not going to walk around with a gang of what you call CDs in my car, my whip, or whatever the matter is.
Yeah.
Or in my house, we can just blast it off my phone, connect it to the Bluetooth in the car, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And so I think it's that's easy enough, you know.
You want to say something, bro?
I think it's also I don't know. I might be taking a long shot in the ocean here, but corporates as well don't value the art as much
in South Africa. Yeah.
Corporates don't value the art as much.
But I mean, South African artists do a lot of corporate gigs. You know,
fair enough.
Even comedians as well. We've done our fair share of corporate gigs. You know what I'm saying?
And do you feel like they support the art?
Not in terms of money, but in terms of putting us on, definitely. But obviously, how do you eat without money? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But sorry, just to interject there, just before we take a break, we're going to take a break very soon. I just wanted to talk, and now that we're talking about music, I wanted to bring it up. You guys know I love my boy, Frank Ocean.
Oh boy, here we go.
But he did us dirty, guys. He did us dirty. He was supposed to drop an album in July, right?
Yeah.
Big Boys Don't Cry. And he didn't. And we don't know when he's going to. He's supposedly releasing a single in January, but I don't trust him anymore.
I don't
Frank Ocean, you know, you can say you're releasing your album tomorrow. I won't believe you because you've lied to me before.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really touched. I know people may not feel the same way I do, but I'm really touched.
No, I agree with you. For me, I think it has to go with Party Next Door. We've been waiting for Party Next Door 3. It's been a year and a little bit now.
Yeah.
I don't know what Drake is trying to do because in that time span, he's dropped 2.
Yeah.
Major albums. So I don't know why he's holding him back, whatever the process is.
Yeah.
All I know is that we need some new music, guys.
Exactly.
That's all I know.
And Kanye West is also supposed to be dropping. He dropped the single Facts, which I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. People have different opinions on it, but I really liked it. You know, it was calling people out as Kanye West does.
Of course,
but I mean, like, who do you think is going to drop first? Can we make a prediction? Who do you think is going to drop first between Party Next Door, Frank Ocean, and Kanye West. And let's add Drake there as well with Views from the Six. And on top of that, out of all of them, who will sell the best?
Ah, you know.
Wait a second.
Wait, bro.
Are we going? No. I don't want to say that. Are we pitting Drake against Kanye genre to genre?
No, not genre to genre. Artist to artist.
Yes.
Okay, no, that's a different story.
I genuinely think Frank will blow them away.
Frank definitely.
I really
for me.
Think Frank, I know, Frank will blow them
but
away.
But wait. Let's not forget about Drake the God.
Okay. No,
let's
but
talk about the six God here. Don't my nigga talk about Hotline Bling? No, relax. As much
what?
As you like.
Do you not like Hotline Bling?
Of course,
were
I like it.
Were you not at Kitchener's okay, doing okay. that for thing the other day? I saw
look,
you.
Look, Drake is my boy. You know, I don't love him, but you know.
I love it, nigga.
You know, like Drake is cool. Drake is cool, you know, but. Remember you wrote a review.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we do as part of the Worst Guys, we review certain aspects, be it movies or TV shows, what's happening in the sporting world of music. And Mark over here wrote a review about what's it called? What a time. The one before, man. If you're reading this,
it's too late.
If you're reading this, it's too late.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple of bangers there, but I feel as though he's evolved quite a bit. You know, Drake has evolved from comeback season all the way to What a Time when it was with Future.
Yeah,
I don't know how I feel. Still feel about that.
But you see, what I was saying is about if you're reading this is too late. Is that there was nothing really there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know
so,
what I mean?
Look, I really
but
don't
we
know.
Loved, people loved it because it was Drake.
Yeah, I don't
and
know
that's
what to expect
he has over a lot of other artists.
Yeah,
you know
I don't
I'm
know
saying?
What to expect from Views from the Six. To tell you the truth, but I still believe that. Yeah, Frank will bang.
Okay, so you only have 100 rand to spend on an album. Party Next Door 3, Big Boys Don't Cry. Views from the Six or Swish, those are the four albums that I'm most excited for. So you only have 100 rand, you can only buy one of those albums. Which would it be, Cecilia?
Here's what I do since I'm a hustler.
of course. Oh Lord. Tell us, hustler.
Here's what I do. I go buy weed, right? And then I sell it and I get 200 rand so that I go buy Views from the Six and Swish.
Alright, so Kanye and Drake would be your first options.
Indeed.
John, before the break quick.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go sell fudge.
I'm not gonna sell fudge.
Yeah. I'm gonna go bootleg, you know, so obviously it's gonna be $50.
No, I want you to pick one, boy. He cheated, but I let him get away with it. He cheated, it's done. He's got 20/20 vision on the golf course
good
right
Lord.
Now. But you, one album.
Yo, this is very, 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 very difficult.
Quick, my boy,
I think I'll go with Frank, dog.
Frank
is winning.
Frank is the greatest artist of all time. Just driving out there.
No.
Okay, not really, but you know, that's how much I love the guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, let's listen to some chooser. We be back right now.
This is CliffCentral.com.
I am the future of South Africa. On my shoulders, I carry the hopes and dreams of generations to come. I'm eager to learn, but even more eager to use my knowledge for good. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye-Gold, we believe our youth is worth its weight in gold, which is why we are so committed to developing, nurturing, and grooming our young people into future leaders. Sibanye-Gold, we are one.
It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.
Yo, we are back. You are back with Mark and Julie and the Worst Guys. What is up, South Africa? If you're listening and you want to, you know, chip into our conversation, I think it's been going wonderfully so far. You know, if you have something to say, 0861-555-189. If you want to holler at Cliff Central on Twitter, at CliffCentral.com and Facebook, Cliff Central. You know, the WeChat ID, if you do not have it, is Cliff Central. But yeah, we're going to go back into our conversation now. We're going to talk about something a little bit more serious, something that's been on my mind for the longest time, and I want to know what you guys feel about it. So what I'm saying is, do you guys, well, let me start with the premise. All right. Okay. University. All right. Wait, we do have a caller. It's Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, yourself. Thank you for listening, good. Michael. What's up?
I was just wanting to comment on, you know, you guys are talking about if Bill Cosby's wife gets subpoenaed and she has to testify against him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are aware of the law in America that you cannot actually testify against your husband.
Yeah. Oh, is that what the fight is all about now?
It possibly could be. She could still be indicted sort of charged as an accomplice.
Okay.
But she can't testify against her husband because it's sort of a defamation of her own character. It's sort of like testifying against herself.
Oh, yes, yes, I see what you're saying. Yeah. That actually does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Making it very, very interesting. That's pretty much all I wanted to, I tried to phone in earlier, we can't get cut off.
Yeah, we saw that,
But that was pretty much my input. It's just, it's a crux of the matter is she's going to be, she can essentially use that as a reason to not testify, and it's been done many times. And a lot of people sometimes marry for that exact reason.
Yes.
Against their partner,
The witness is now no longer a witness, kind of thing. So,
Now that you've mentioned it, it's starting to resurface. You know, I have heard of this before.
How many witnesses has Jacob married?
He's got it on lock, man. But yeah, thanks so much for the call and your input, like Michael.
Cheers, Mike.
Enjoying the show. Bye.
Cheers, man.
Wow, well, that's something that we didn't really think about.
Well, I know. I'm gonna polygamy is the way, guys. Get involved there. Kaffa, just like, hey, baby, born. That's what it is.
Would you actually go for that? Now that you bring it up, we're gonna talk about something serious, back to it. But let's be honest. We are some boys. We're some real homies. Oh, we went to school together. We know each other. So I'll call you out if you like. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you think that marriage is an outdated institution?
You see what you're doing now.
Because I'm starting to feel like it is. And it's not just the divorce rate and all of that. You know, we're going to go back. Oh, this is going to be so controversial. But listen.
Hurt.
It's hurt. No, but I think we need to really start thinking about this, you know, just in terms of how many people are starting to, you know, fall in love or be attracted to more than one person. You know, you know that you could love one person and then a year later love another person, and 2 years later love the person you loved 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? So in terms of the institution of marriage itself being outdated, this is the analogy I like to use. All right. And you must tell me yes or no. Obviously, maybe you don't like my analogy, but I think it's pretty accurate. Okay. I go to a car dealership. There's a car that I really, really love, a Mustang, beautiful Mustang, and I love it. With a fat ass. Big old fat ass, girl.
I want your body.
She has hair.
You know what I'm saying? So I get to the dealer, and he says, cool, I've got a sweet deal on this car for you, my boy. I'll give it to you for $200,000, but in 5 years, there's a 50% chance that it will stop working. I'm not buying that car.
Huh?
I'm not buying that car. In 5 years, there's a 50% chance that it will stop working. The engine will just crumble, okay, for example. So that's what I'm saying I'm using as a marriage. In 5 years, there's a 50% chance that your marriage has gone to
what
shit.
If every car, what involved? If every car salesman told you the exact same thing for every single car?
Well, then I guess I'll just start riding bicycles, which is what I'm saying to you. Ooh, maybe polygamy is the answer.
Bicycle. I mean, look, what I'm picking up here is like, you need to stick it out for the long run, dog. I feel sometimes, you know, everything in life has got its ups and downs. So hearing that, you're just like, okay, and after 5 years, I'm going to call it quits.
But people end up hating each other. How many of us come from broken homes? The majority of us.
That is true.
I feel like I've turned out fine.
Okay, and from that, you're like, you know what? You remember when we were a bit younger, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we're back in the day in high school, you were like, you know what? Because of what I've experienced, what I've seen, I'm going to be a better man. Yes. And I'm going to get myself a wife, and I'm going to do a whole lot better than...
But being a better man means knowing exactly what you want and what you need to do in order for your family to be happy.
Fair enough.
Because I know if I'm going to get bored, that's a guarantee.
Okay.
We all get bored, especially when it comes to sexual interaction. I don't even know why I use
that. Let me tell you something.
Coitus. Let's say coitus.
No. I love that word.
Let me finish. People get bored, and it's true, and that's why people cheat. It's not even an emotional thing. Well, let's talk from a man's perspective, from my own perspective, before people start hollering at me. You know, for the most part, people get bored and, you know, they want something, you want to try something else, you know, is that I wish I could get every girl in the world type of mentality. And people have that, especially as us young men, you know, who are you know, doing well in life. You know, we want to see what else is out there, you know. So how do you know that the person, okay, well, I guess you know if you know. You know, that's always going to be the answer. But I'm sure all those people who got married and ended up getting divorced knew that they knew. You
know what I'm saying?
We got to call her Chris. Oh, yeah. All right. Yo, Chris. Hello, Chris. What up, brah? We waiting for you.
Is this your brother, bro?
I don't know. Okay, Chris, we lost Chris. We'll get him back if we can. But do you know what I'm saying? Is marriage the only solution? Because we've spoken about this before, how I wouldn't mind being a single dad. You know,
I could rock
a single dad life.
But the thing is, I don't want to be in that situation.
Yeah.
Because I was brought up, you know, with a mother and a father. Okay. You know, and I see the benefits of that. So I'd love to give my kids the same kind of benefit, you know.
Okay. You see, what we're trying to say is that two out of three of us here in this conversation come from a broken home. Broken home in inverted commas. Do you know what I'm saying? Because most people come from broken homes, therefore, like, all broken homes are broken. So I'm trying to change the understanding of what it means to have a broken home. A broken home is where the marriage has failed and then one person had to take care of you, or, you know, there was no balance, there was no understanding. I mean, you could easily, like, we can go back to Claire and Frank Underwood.
Mm.
A lot of people from the outside, it looks like a perfect relationship.
Yeah.
You know, they married, he's the president or whatever, and sorry for the spoiler if you haven't watched it, but you know what I'm saying? They married, they're together, but they're both doing their own things. You know what I'm saying? So I think there are people with different standings of what it means to be happy or what it means to be in a relationship. Do you know what I'm saying? Is marriage the only way that we have now to sustain, you know?
It's the whole titles thing, bruh. Changes everything.
People want you to sign a contract. Why does the government have to be involved in my relationship? Why? Why does there have to be a diamond on my ring? I'm a ring finger for you to know that.
No, just because I'm loving somebody else. Yeah, gee.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm joking.
Or maybe people just do it so that their wives can't testify them against them. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. With this one, mate.
That's why there's so many BEEs out here. These guys are rocking that lifestyle.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, but let's move on to what I wanted to talk about earlier. That just came out of nowhere. What I've been thinking about lately, and you guys can attest to this as well, because we've all been to tertiary institutions, you know, we're all educated and stuff. Is going to university really worth it? You know, and think about it for a second before you answer, because I'm going to tell you the things that, you know, make me opposed to university. First of all, the cost, obviously. You leave university, you got 350,000 rands of debt, you know, and now you have to go into a job that you might not really like in order for you to start covering those debts. You know, very, very well-off families, or, you know, upper middle class families that I know personally are also suffering from debt from university.
And you're doing something that you don't even like most of the time.
Most of the time, you come out, you start doing a job that you're overqualified for, that your degree isn't even really for, and, you know, you start to see growth in that company, and you're like, ah, might as well stick it out here until I'm the managing director in 30 years from now. So now, my perspective is, when I think about it, if I started, you know, pursuing my dreams when I was 16, like I said, okay, I want to be a musician, I'm going to go for it. We live in a world where the internet has every answer you're looking for. If you want, you could go and learn how to play guitar from YouTube. You could sit in your room all day, every day, practicing your music until you're so amazing. By the time you're 21, you John Mayer. You know what I'm saying? All right. Okay. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's so much more outside of university. For me personally, it was more of a social experience. You know?
You damn right about that.
It was way right more of a social experience, because
what do you expect when you went to Rhodes?
Yeah, no, of course.
Well, it's the best of university course. In the world.
Rodent, yeah. Jeez, talking about still stories about Prime and Rat and Good Lord.
But you know what I mean? Like, I went to university wanting to study law to start off with, dropped law, ended up getting a degree in politics and philosophy. I'm not a politician. I'm a philosopher, obviously, by nature, we all are. But you know what I'm trying to say? I went, I've got $350,000 rand of debt. Sorry, I'm really trying to stay away from the rand. It's so weak. You know, so I've got 350,000 rand of debt. I'm not even doing anything in line with what I studied at university. And, you know, now here we are. How far would I have been in my career now if I had started when I was 16, if I'd seen another way? So my thing is that if there's no other way for you to get into the career that you enjoy besides university, then go to university. If you want to be a lawyer, you have to go to university. If you want to be an accountant, you have to go to university, or you have to study accounting at some tertiary level. You know what I'm saying? But there's so many other things that are going on in the world that people block themselves off to because, you know, university is the standard. That's what we used to. That's the goal at the end of the day. But at the end of the day, I've got a 350,000 rand scroll.
And it's not necessarily just our fault as the youth as well. Because if you look at it in the sense of our upbringing, you know...
I was just about to touch on that.
I mean, in most cases, kids get forced to go to university.
Yeah. You know... Okay, just hold on. I think we got Chris back here. We got Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up, Chris? Thanks for tuning in, man. What's up?
Good day to yourself.
Always blessed, always blessed.
I just wanted to touch on what you guys were previously discussing. Just the whole marriage aspect. You guys did cover all, pretty much most of the points I want to say, but I think what actually needs to change is society's perception and each individual's perception on what a successful marriage is.
Exactly.
So if you want to get into it for purely political gain, then you should do that. If you want to get into it for true love, you should do that. And I think one of you guys said something about having to sign contracts and
things.
I completely agree. I don't think that's really necessary.
All right. No, that's so true. That's exactly what we're talking about, Chris Mzinyati. But Ria, what do you have to say about that?
I completely agree with Chris. I think everybody who, you know, wants to be promiscuous, you know, I think there should be a world for promiscuous people, and everybody must just fly out there, you know. Don't come there if you're not promiscuous, because you're gonna get hurt.
You're gonna get touched.
And if you're loyal, you know, you go to another planet, and everybody there is loyal. Their Cupid stays on that planet.
What I'm trying to say, do you really trust a baby with an arrow, Doug?
Thing is,
people fall in love all the time, and it doesn't work. Maybe I'm being a pessimist. I'm being a pessimist.
I think to make a marriage work, it takes more than love, mate. To honestly tell you the truth, especially nowadays with everything going on, everybody is so driven to reach their specific goals, to have a career or whatnot, to do this and do that. So I think it's a partnership between two, basically, you know. And you, as the people getting involved in it, you need to come to a decision. Okay, look, this is what it is for us, you know. We're not going to be defined by what marriage is
by
society.
Yeah. You know, this is what it is for us.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, I think that's what, especially in today's world, you know, people today are so open-minded. Well, hopefully, we hope.
Yeah, no, definitely more than they were 10 years ago.
I'm looking for two girls right now.
No.
So I think, you know, it depends on the people who are involved in the relationship, you know.
I think we can call it that. I think that's essentially the point of this conversation.
All right.
I want to go back to the university thing. You were talking about, parents and their influence on going to university.
Exactly. Especially, You get told exactly what to study in most cases. I mean, not everybody's like that, you know. But you have a large amount of people who get told what to study, and they're not studying the thing that... I know my cousin, for example, went through that. But fortunately enough, like my father, for example, right? He told me, listen, you're not doing this for me. You're not doing this for your mother. You getting this degree for yourself. So if you shanking at university, you're the one who tuned me that you want to study this, right? Yeah. So if that's what you want to study, then study that. But if you don't need a degree for whatever you choose to succeed with in life, then don't study. Just keep on pressing on with that passion of yours, you will succeed.
Because the Biebers of the world have been playing drums since the age of 2.
No doubt.
He's 21 years old, rolling around in
Lamborghinis right now. Do you know that Chad Leclerc's father apparently quit his job like when Chad was in like grade 3? When he saw his son swim, he's like, it's over.
This is the one.
It's over.
Exactly.
Miami Dolphin.
And I think it's a bigger problem. We can talk because, you know, we know as black parents especially, you know, they put a lot of pressure on education. Exactly. And even when their children are talented, we know of people who went to our own schools who were extremely talented, you know, who should have gone and played cricket straight out of high school.
Yeah.
Going in, you know, we had SA under 19 captains from our school. You know what I'm saying? But no, they had to go to university while other people are practicing every day.
Look
morning,
at Wade
noon,
van
der Gerst
Peretz. He went to our school, right?
Yeah,
saw that, no, this kid is too lit at running. So we took him to Grey College,
where the athletics was of a higher standard.
Exactly.
You see, it's an understanding. I mean, a lot of the jobs that people do coming out of university, a high school graduate could do easily. And now you've spent all this money, you've spent all this time, you know, on essentially just a holiday. That's essentially what it is, you know, to me. Unless you want to be an academic.
Yeah.
If that is your pursuit, you know, that's when I think you should go to university. But I mean, don't waste your time. If you know that the thing that you want the most is not at the tertiary institution, don't waste your time. And it's hard. It's very hard, especially with black parents, because, you know,
if you're not a doctor, if you're not a lawyer, you're not an accountant, it's like,
What I'm saying is that, like, once you, if you're confident in yourself and you're believed to do what you want to do and succeed in it, you can always go back to school. School's not going away.
And that's what I thank my father for as well.
Yeah, but you're wasting your time at your peak while other people are working day and night to be better at you, at what you want to be, while you're studying some random politics at Rhodes University. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference that I'm trying to bring out about university. I mean, is it really worth it? I don't know. If you guys have an opinion on this, you guys can tell me. I could be wrong. You know, maybe I should just bullshit it. But remember, the number to call is 0861-555-189. Tell me what you think about university and its worth. Okay. Two things that I want to discuss quickly before we go. I didn't really want to bring this up because, you know, race is always a topic in our country.
Oh, boy.
But we could talk about it from a different angle. I had an experience yesterday that I just had to get out of my chest. I went to my friend's house, right? My friend is white. I went with my brother. My brother's black, obviously. So anyway, we went to this house. There's two of us, me and my brother, and two of them, white guys, and they are friends. So the one is the son of the mother of the house. He goes into change. We're going to go grab some drinks. He needs to get his car. He needs to get his shoes and stuff. So, I asked for water. I was like, yeah, just grab some out of the fridge. I get some out of the fridge. As soon as I close the fridge, his mom is there. Mind you, we have not been introduced to the mother. We just in her kitchen. We're just chilling. We're waiting for the son to come out so we can go have a good time. So she sees us, and she's like, who the hell are you guys?
Just.
And I was like, my name is Mark. Nice to meet you. And she didn't greet me initially. Cause she had this, like, she genuinely
phobia.
Was afraid. I could see it, and it looked like she was genuinely afraid. And it got me thinking, it's like, he told us later, cause we were at the park, we're chilling, he told us later, he's like, the reason why she reacted like that is because in, I think, 2013, they got robbed at gunpoint by, black people. I mean, obviously, I don't want to say black people, like, black people love crime. I mean, black people are poor. That's why they do crime. We all know this. So what I'm trying to ask you guys is trauma-based racism acceptable? Should I? Because I almost felt sorry for her after that, and I don't know why. I mean, I almost felt sorry for her to the extent that she just saw blacks, and she's like, whoa, that's exactly what happened. You know what I'm saying? So what do you think about that, Riyad? Is that something we can accept because she's been robbed by a black person, all black people are bad? I mean, it's still racist.
It's not something we can accept, but it's something that you can try and understand, because that's why a whole lot of black people will never vote for the DA, because they know.
I don't ever want to try understand the racist, though.
Yeah,
I don't want you to... I don't want...
Okay, no,
you can't
the
justify
racism.
It.
Okay,
fair enough. You know what I mean? That's my opinion. You can't justify it. You last one there? What do you think about it?
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely agree with you on this one. You know, you definitely cannot accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Racism in any form at all, you know, but I
you
think
squash that,
you know,
that
just
shit.
Put yourself in that person's shoes just for a split second.
That's
just to understand. Just like nowadays, all we ask of those that are privileged or whatever the case is, just to understand the plight of others or you know, put themselves in their situations.
You see, now my question with that is, if her burglars were white, by some chance, her burglars were white, would she have been afraid of me?
Of her own son.
Of her own son. Or of her friend that came, you know, with us. Would she have been afraid? Would she stop, or would she treat white people the same way she treats the black people that she sees in her home now?
Nooit nie.
You know what I'm saying? That's where I draw them. That's why I say it's unacceptable, because I don't think she would have done the same if there were white people, and that's what makes it racist. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But yeah, let's just end off with a little light note. You know, I just had to get that out, because it happened yesterday and it was a weird experience. But anyway, just a quick one. What are your John, your five non-negotiables with a woman? Five things that she just has to have, or it's never happening.
Oh boy. Okay. She needs to have nice feet, guys.
Thank you.
That is very, that is very, that is very, 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 very important. You know, for the past year, I've been trying to figure out if I'm an ass man or I'm a boob man. That's a difficult one. You know, she gotta have them boobs.
Okay, so you've got feet. Next.
Are we talking physical features or like overall?
Hey, let's talk physical. Let's talk physical, just because of the lack of time. Let's talk physical.
Okay. I'm gonna add one. Okay.
Let's go around. Okay.
All right, cool.
He said feet.
Yeah.
Hygiene. Hygiene is very important.
It's very important.
Okay, that's two. English. Surely is one. Like, you have to be good at speaking English. You can't be hola, matita. No, I'm not about that. Like, for me.
Good Lord.
For me. Okay. Yes, quick two.
Zay, your turn.
She must be independent as well.
Independent.
Hold your own.
And the last one, ass over boobs.
Ass. Ladies and gentlemen, all right.
This has been Mark of Lili, your special guest host, with my boys, the worst guys, John Ngamane and Ria Sesele. Thank you so much for tuning in. Listen up, catch us on Twitter, @_worstguys.
Yes. On Instagram, it's the worst guys, as well as on Facebook, it's the worst guys.
Mom, I'm not a stripper.
We'll be sure to see you soon. Cheers.
It's your special guest host on CliffCentral.com.